So one of the things we're talking about today is environmental or religious leaders becoming involved in the environmental cause more so now than they have in the past. So I'm just curious, since you've been involved in this for so long, kind of why do you think that religious leaders more so now are starting to become involved in environmental issues?
Well, I think one of the things we study in seminary is called crisis theology, that people tend to get religion when there's a crisis, either personal or local or national. And I think it's people are that are thinking people recognize that it's reached a crisis proportion across the globe. We know that sea level rise is taking place, that we're losing villages in Alaska, that an island has disappeared in the Bay of Bengal. And religious leaders, when they accept their religious undertaking after seminary and they commit to a service of the church and God's creation, they have in the back of their mind the commandment to take care of the Garden of Eden. The operative Hebrew words are avodah and shomer, keep and serve creation. Well, unless we do that, all else we do is immaterial. And I think more and more clergy are beginning to recognize that the fabric of creation is unraveling, and we better raise our voices and change our behavior to meet the challenges facing us. So for me, it's been an evolutionary process. And when those of us who jumped on the bandwagon in 1970 with the first Earth Day, we've seen a gradual, albeit slow, but a gradual process of unveiling the truth about what's happening to God's creation.
Well, even a few years ago, it must have been much more difficult to kind of get people on board with the environmental cause in the religious community. Was it difficult to convince people that this was a problem that needed to be tackled?
Well, somehow, when they talk about separation of church and state, a lot of people felt that the environmental issue was out there, over there someplace. It was not connected to the work of the church. And that's because they had forgotten about Genesis and taking care of creation as a primary function of the human race. And I think that more and more clergy were beginning to see the connection. But yes, you're right. It's been a challenge, very much so a challenge.
And do you think any part of that is political and has to do with kind of the reemergence of the religious right in politics and having people kind of following along with the Republican Party platform that is notoriously anti-environmental?
That's an astute question. I think that it was made into a political issue for whatever reason, personal gain, distorting the true facts. We had basically a disembowelment of the EPA. We had, during the last 8 years or so, we've had a discounting of good science. We have had political people rewriting science. The classic example is James Hansen, who was a leading expert on global warming, and his reports were basically redacted by an administration that took it for political reason that we should discount what the scientists were saying. And somehow the religious right began to think that that was what was gospel, rather than trusting their own intuition, trusting their own feelings, and looking at good science. And that's been a sad part, because those of us that have been in the trenches for 20 years or 30 years, we rely on good science for our direction. And that's been one of the great joys of my life, is having the pages of good science open to us, so then we can create solutions to meet that. And yet we've had the deniers and the naysayers. Even today we have political candidates saying, well, global warming, yeah, I kind of agree with it now because the science is overwhelming. But they also then will say out of the next breath, but it's really not man-made. It's just cyclical. It's one of the patterns over time. Well, yeah, geological patterns are 10,000 years. We've accelerated the pattern. So it's now we're talking about 100 years or 200 years in terms of the monumental changes. So, yes, it has been political, and it's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like whenever the church decides to get involved in issues like this, they actually do make a difference. And do you think that having more people in the religious community kind of get on the bandwagon of protecting the environment, how big of a change or how big of an effect do you think that will have on environmental issues?
Well, I think it's so important that I started a fund, the first of its kind, at any seminary in the country, at Virginia Theological Seminary, my alma mater, in memory of my parents, and it's called the Kreitler Environmental Fund. And we have lectures, and we have scholarships now for students. These are seminary students to go off to environmental conferences. We bring in an environmental and theological lecturer every year. We kicked it off last year with Dr. Ellen Davis. That's how deeply I feel that the church must lead. We must not be behind the eight ball, but out there ahead. We are the stewards of God's creation. We are the ones, by choice of profession, who care about these matters. And to be an environmentalist is simply one who cares about his or her surroundings. That's where the word comes from, environ, the French, surroundings. And if the church does not care about their surroundings, their neighborhood, their community, their state, their ecosystem, their nation, who else is going to lead the way?
Do you see this kind of protectionist attitude trickling down through the congregation?
Absolutely. Now, I think maybe you're seeing more of a balance now. But the argument, when I would go into a church and I challenged the ministers to get involved, their argument was always the same, and that is, it's another issue. And, you know, I have to worry about baptisms and Sunday school, and I have to worry about the poor and justice issues, and I have to worry about my Sunday sermon and whether the altar guild is going to be there to set up the church on time and all this kind of stuff. And I tried to say, now, wait a second. It's an issue that transcends and overrides everything else. And that was a hard sell 20 years ago, 15 years ago. I think it's a little easier today. It's not just another issue for clergy to worry about.
Well, back to environmentalism on a political level, do you think that that is having an effect on basically the political sway of the religious community? Do you think that being more in tune with environmental issues will kind of pull people away from the Republican Party if they're not supportive of that?
Well, my hope is that it pulls people away from anyone who's not interested in it. A corporation, a local municipality, a church. This is the single most important theological issue of any time in any generation. It's the collapse of creation we're talking about. If you want to put it in religious terms, it's really easy. It's God's creation is slipping through our fingers, and we can see that most acutely when it comes to species. We're losing species at an unprecedented rate, from the great mammals to the great creatures of the sea, to songbirds, to species that can no longer adapt to warming seas, such as what's happening to the shorebirds of Scotland and the warming of the North Sea. So when you look at the indicator species around the globe, you see that we're losing them at unprecedented rates. That indicates a collapsing of creation. And we are just one of those species that will eventually go the way of the dodo bird if we indeed keep our heads in the sand.
Well, Reverend Kreitler, thank you very much for talking with me.